Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on when you listen to this. Welcome to the Evil Dungeon Master Universe Podcast. I'm your host, the Evil Dungeon Master Vince. How you doing out there, folks? How's everything going? It's a Monday morning when I'm recording this, the day after Easter weekend. Hopefully everybody had a nice time with their families and Easter egg hunts and all that other stuff that you do on Easter. But anyway, today's topic is actually going to be about my campaign, which I was surprised, but after talking about it briefly in some other episodes, some people wanted to hear more about my DC Heroes campaign and the Infinity Rings, which was my version of the Infinity Gauntlet at the time. So I will get into that. But first, don't forget to head over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and give me a rating. I appreciate that. Those that have, I appreciate that. A lot of people went to Spotify and gave me a rating. I have now like 40-something ratings. I went up from like 30-something to 40-something, so I appreciate those people. Apple Podcasts has a couple ratings as well, but the more, the merrier, the more my podcast gets shown out there. But anyway, the campaign. So I had three characters in this campaign. I had two of them were basically Marvel fans, and the other person was a DC Hero fan. The first character was named The Claw, which you could probably figure out he was a Wolverine-like character, mimicking Wolverine completely. And the other one was a Spider-Man character, and he called himself the Dark Spider. Original. He was in the Venom suit, well, his version of the Venom suit for DC Heroes game. And the third character was named the Ultimate. He was basically like a Superman-like character. But, you know, when you're starting out and don't have that many points, you're more like Superman-lite. But he was as close as he can get to be Superman. So I had three characters. Now you have to remember the time frame when I was running this was around 1991. During that time, it was probably, I want to say it was at the end of the summer into the beginning of a school year. So we were running this campaign after school or at a friend's house, things like that. And 1991, that summer into the new fall, was when the Infinity Gauntlet came out, and DC had War of the Gods going. So, the main villain of my campaign was Cersei. And the reason why I'm bringing up these two topics is because Cersei was in War of the Gods, and it was like her first appearance in I don't know how long of a time frame of her not being around. And War of the Gods had it like on the front, first appearance of Cersei, So I was influenced by that, and I liked her as a sorceress. I always liked characters that had sorcery powers and things like that. Plus, I always liked powerful women as the catalyst of a campaign. Don't know why, just something I've always liked. So she was the main villain of the campaign. So we have our three characters doing their thing in the city. It was probably Manhattan. I don't really remember at that time. This is around the time that I was starting to make up Nightfall Bay, but I haven't really completed it yet. So they were exploring around the city, and they stumbled into the Mind Ring. Now, the Infinity Gauntlet, in case you not remember, or didn't read comics, or didn't watch the movies, there was the Mind Gem, the Reality Gem, the Power Gem, the Space Gem, and the Time, and the Soul Gem. Now, I just made them into rings instead. And I got a picture through AI art just of what the rings looked like based on what I described them as. And they were five rings. You put it on your hand. And so they stumbled into the Mind Gem. And of course, players do what players do. They have fun with their new toy, controlling various people with the Mind Gem, doing this and that, and I had to warn them various times that, you guys are supposed to be good guys, you shouldn't be controlling people against their will. So, they didn't listen, so I decided to take a little bit more of an action. They're in the middle of doing their thing and having fun, with the ring as superheroes, but they were controlling villains at this point, not just regular people, because, that gets boring after a while. Mephisto shows up and warns them that they're playing with things that aren't for mortals, and that was a dangerous game. He demanded they hand over the ring. The heroes thought about it for a moment, and they basically told him to F off. So a battle ensued between Mephisto and the three characters. The three characters wound up overtaking him, mostly because of the ring. And as he was heading back into hell, he warned them that he wouldn't be the only one coming to look for that ring, because every time they used it, it was like a beacon for those searching for these rings. Which made the players wonder, when he said rings, what did that exactly mean? So the gang, after talking for a little while, decided that they needed to search out Dr. Fate. Because if anybody knew anything, it would be Dr. Fate when it came to things like this, magic and universal magic and stuff like that. Dr. Fate is probably the best person. Zatanna might be another person, but they decided Dr. Fate was the person to look for. So after a week-long search, finding three different fake Dr. Fates, yeah, in my world, or my universe, I should say, I always had superheroes that, well, not superheroes, other people who mimicked superheroes when they had some minor powers, trying to trick other people in the world that they were that actual superhero. And they were doing it for glory and fame. So these other Dr. Fates kind of looked like Dr. Fate, acted like Dr. Fate, didn't have the powers of Dr. Fate, were just dicks. So they went through a bunch of these Dr. Fates after being tricked absolutely big time by one of them, almost handing over the ring to a fake Dr. Fate until they figured it out, because of it was something to how he worded it and the way he looked at them. Yeah, Dr. Fate looking at somebody, right? They figured out it wasn't him. So they finally defeated that one and went around looking for the real Dr. Fate and found him. After various questions, Dr. Fate getting pissed off at the fact because he didn't realize they were fake Dr. Fates out there. They finally figured out it was him. And they gave him the ring and he analyzed it and he figured out it was part of a set. This was only one part of the set. There's the reality, there's the power, there's the space, there's the time, there's the soul ring. But, and he said, but they can be placed together and used, and the person who puts them together can use, can basically do whatever they wanted in life, whatever their heart desired. And someone with an evil, dark heart can definitely enslave the universe with these rings. But there was a catch. He said, while these rings can be used individually, placed on the same hand and used, they only will work together in unison if they find a bracelet with the Nightmare Stone on it. The bracelet will go on your wrist with the rings on your fingers, which locked the rings together with these magical chains, so it kind of formed its own gauntlet, so to speak, like the Infinity Gauntlet, but it was just rings with chains attached to a bracelet, which, if I remember during that time in the 90s, that whole, like, goth punk thing or whatever it was, that people had rings that were attached to bracelets with chains on it, that's where I got that idea from, because a lot of girls were wearing those things. So this Nightmare Stone would attach to the rings with these magical chains and give them the ability to do whatever they wanted at that point. Sure, they could have done it by individual rings, but when they're working with the Nightmare Stone, now they control dreams as well. So there's no place safe for anybody at this point. Now, the Nightmare Stone was something I made up completely because I wanted something a little bit different. The Nightmare Stone itself, or the Nightmare Bracelet itself, possesses the power to manipulate dreams and nightmares, turning them into tangible reality. It can conjure up illusions so real they can inflict physical harm or even alter a person's memories or perceptions. It is believed the stone feeds on fear, growing stronger with each nightmare it creates. So that was what I was using for that. So after Dr. Fate explains them what they have to do, he tasks the heroes with finding the Nightmare Bracelet, while he would gather up the Justice Society to find the other rings. In which the players just assumed that they were now part of the Justice Society. And Dr. Fate just went, yeah, sure, why not? and he just left to go because he had bigger and better things on his mind. Now, the players went after the Nightmare bracelet at this point, which they didn't exactly know where to find it. So they test Zatanna now at this point to help them out. And she was pretty much clueless to what was going on. And they explained everything to her. And she was like, okay, well, I can cast a magical summoning, a magical location spell that may give us an idea where this is located. So they had to go gather some pieces for this magical spell to work. Obviously, you know, components. This is all how a campaign works. Make players run around for various little things to help things work. So they got this stuff together and they figured out that it was, of all places, in Florida. So, yeah, Florida Man had it, but no, Florida Man wasn't really a thing back then. But it was in Florida, so they had to go down to Florida and figure out where it was in the swamp areas of Florida. When they got to the swamp areas of Florida, they ran into Cersei, who was already there looking for the Nightmare Bracelet. At this point, Cersei had collected the Reality Gem and the Power Gem, so in which the players were pretty much screwed because the Reality and the Power Gem were pretty powerful together itself. Well, I should say rings, not Power Gem, because they were rings. So she had two of the five rings, and she was looking for the bracelet, which would have enhanced the power of the two rings on her fingers. So they had a battle with her and absolutely got wiped off the table. Thankfully, the Justice Society showed up and save their ass and chase Cersei away. Dr. Fate, Zatanna, and the rest of the Justice Society, and then Superman shows up and helps the players knock her back, in which I forgot exactly how they did it, but they hit her so hard that the rings fell off. I rolled like a really low number, and I'm like, you know what? This sounds actually kind of cool. They hit her so hard that when she fell down, one of the rings fell off her finger. I rolled randomly. It was the Reality ring. It fell off her finger because when she fell back and hit the ground, obviously the rings were not that tight on her finger, so it fell off. After her defeat, she left. The heroes, grabbing the Reality ring, handed it over to Dr. Fate, who is going to keep the rings. Now, Dr. Fate now has the Mind Gem and the Mind Ring and the Reality Ring in his possession. So, the campaign continued along as they raced against time against Cersei to try to get these different rings before she could. Now, the surprise ending to all of this, and I'll just skip ahead because it doesn't really matter, was that anybody that collected all of them had a chance to be controlled by them. Now, let me step back here for a minute. And when I say by controlled by them, I made them that they were an intelligent item. I was heavily into playing Advanced Dungeons & Dragons back then as well, and intelligence and egotistical weapons were a big thing in our campaigns. When we were playing with one individual named Joe, he always liked to throw those things in and have these weapons with, you know, intelligence in them, and they would talk to you. So the gems, the rings, when placed together, had a chance to take over the person who possessed them, regardless if they were wearing them. As long as they were all together, they would possess them. So at the end, the heroes wound up beating back Cersei and getting all of the rings, including the bracelet, but Dr. Fate fell to the rings. And we had a dramatic moment where he turned around and he had all the rings on his fingers and the bracelet. And he said, "Now I control the universe." And that's how I ended that campaign. Everything on a cliffhanger because I wasn't sure where I was going to go with it at that point. Because now Dr. Fate is the person mind-controlled by all these rings. And now they had to break him out of it. we were going to continue this campaign, but we never did. So it was just one of those things that, you know, you play a campaign for so long and then people go, eh. It lasted all the way until about Christmas. So then we went on our Christmas break, and when we came back, no one really seemed interested in continuing. It wasn't like they didn't like the game or the system. It's just we were playing so many games back then that we just moved over to a different game. We never came back to it. So, but that is one of my big DC Heroes campaigns that I ran for quite some time there for a kid that was very involved. And I thank the influence of the Infinity Gauntlet comic and the War of the Gods comic for DC Comics. All right. Hopefully you enjoyed the story here that I had today. With that said, I'm going to head out. Keep it original. Keep it old school. Good night and God bless everybody.